Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NASCAR runs a triple header in Texas and sneaks past Mother Nature. The annual North-South Shootout runs under glorious autumn skies here in Concord, North Carolina. USAC headed west in one of their stars had a very dominant weekend. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, November the 7th, Election Eve 2016. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us, and the answer is no. He cannot give us a good reason why we end daylight saving time either. So Daddy J is with us down in North Myrtle Beach, pushing the buttons and keeping us on the air, all the crew down there at Racers Reunion Radio. Welcome everybody that is joining us online wherever you are. We've got multiple methods working here as we have for the past several weeks. That is our modus operandi nowadays. Hello to all viewing us on Speedway Report TV right here. Speedway Report .com. If you'd like to watch the show, head to our website, speedwayreport.com. Up on the top ribbon, there's a TV button. Simply click that, and that is where you are. Also on the Racers Reunion Stock Car homepage, I'm looking in this camera right here, straight ahead of me. To my left, everybody's right here. We are streaming on Facebook Live. If you'd like to watch the show over there, just head to our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. Punch up the homepage and voila, boom, there you guys are right there on Facebook. I also want to say hello to all our friends in the Racers Reunion chat rooms tonight. On the stock car side, I'm looking over Danny Whitener's over there along with our good friend JG, Jeff Gilder. Larry Urey is with us. Stars Radio still hanging in there as well as the legend Tim Leeming joining us tonight. How you doing, Timbo? And on the Drag Racers site, they're getting ready for Racing and Rocking coming up at the top of the hour. Barb has already signed in over there along with John Balkeman. He'll be with you with Racing and Rocking. Rich and Thomas also joining us there. Hello to one. Hello to all wherever you are joining us on the World Wide Web. And over here, if you are on our Facebook page, maybe checking out our show for the very first time, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds is the name of the page. We'd appreciate a like if you can click the like on the page, and we'll keep you up to date and chat with you all week long on the world of motorsports. And just to round out this big social media empire that we're building here, on Twitter, my handle is Speedway Pat, and the show also has its own Twitter handle. We've got two of them, Speedway Report. So you go Speedway Pat for me, Speedway Report for the show, through the at symbol. Either way, join us on Twitter as well. Now we're going to head on over to the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap and tell you who won what. Yes, we are working through November. Still some races heading out there each and every week. They're getting a little thinner at the regional and local level, but the national level, and there's still some good local racing still running. Let's get you up to speed on who won what. The Sprint Cup cars were in Fort Worth, Texas. Supposed to be green flag yesterday afternoon. We went green, went checker late last night. Carl Edwards was declared the winner in a rain-delayed and rain-shortened race. We were looking to go green around 2 p.m. Eastern time yesterday afternoon. It was between 7 and 8 o'clock. We finally threw the green flag. Rain shortened the distance. The checkered was waved between 11 and 12 there sometime. Still a good deal of the race completed. Did not quite make the 500-mile distance. Carl Edwards leading when the red flag was displayed. They gave the weather a little bit of a break. Checkered flag. That's it. Cousin Carl, your winner. Xfinity Tour for NASCAR ran in Texas on the mile-and-a-half track Saturday afternoon. Lo and behold, the Cup driver won an Xfinity Series race. What were the Vegas odds of that, especially in a downforce track? Good driver, though. Kyle Larson did win for Ganassi Racing Saturday afternoon, and the trucks were there Friday night. Johnny Sauter made it two in a row in the Truck Series with another win there. Pretty neat deal for that team. They won the opening round for the trucks at Daytona back in February. They went winless until last week in Martinsville. They only waited a few more days to grab their second win, the second checkered flag, as they win Friday night as well. Johnny Sauter parks it in victory lane. Out on the dirt tracks, the USAC Sprints went west to Queen Creek, Arizona. And on Friday night, Chris Windham won the 30-lap main event for the 410 Sprints, as well as the 360 Sprint Car feature. Then on Saturday, Windham made his way to victory lane again to put an exclamation point on these dominant weekends. Later in this week, the tour will stage the Budweiser Oval Nationals, which is held Thursday through Saturday in Paris, California. The North-South shootout that we mentioned earlier was in Concord, North Carolina. Big race, big short track race here in the Charlotte area. The pavement modifieds went 125 laps, and our friend on this show, Andy Seiss, held off the late charge from big money Matt Hirschman for the win. Total prize money for Seiss, close to $10,000, and he's been a guest on our show several times. Nice dude, good guy. Good short tracker there. Good race between him and Matt Hirschman. And in the past super late model 125, Dalton Sargent won in his very first start on that half-mile speedway. Darn near a photo finish between Sargent and Preston Pelletier as the checkered flag waved there. This race, this event, this North-South shootout being held this past Saturday afternoon. And if you are anywhere in the Southeast, or, you know, just around the Charlotte area, anywhere around here, what a glorious autumn weekend we had. We were blessed with some beautiful weather. Boom, here we are. Good racing and fantastic racing there. Close finishes. Both the modifieds and the super late models had some, a lot of action on the last lap between the first two cars. Close finishes. Neither one pulled out away from the other. So good showing there. Capped off with the good weather here. Now let's jump back here, take a past look at this weekend that just got over here, and getting a feeling, not even a feeling, I'm recognizing it wholeheartedly, that I'm beginning like a weekly rant and bash of the auto racing playoff world. We've been over this so many times on this show over the years with playoffs, and came up on Twitter over this week when just chatting with other people on Twitter. And a person brought up, I think I made a mention of it, because the World Series, that's how the conversation started, the World Series ended last week, and it was that Chicago Cubs and Cleveland Indians ended in extra innings in Game 7. And that, being the racing nut that I am, brought to that famous quote that we were all looking for, those Game 7 moments that Brian France is famous for trying to earn in NASCAR. And my point was with the World Series is that that same system that gave us that seventh game, that classic finish to the World Series, that same system could have just as easily produced a four-game sweep. You don't know what was going to happen. It was the seventh game. They had a rain delay. They went into extra innings. You're in an extra inning game, Game 7 of the World Series, and it is decided. You can't script that. But you're forcing a Game 7 moment in the world of motorsports. I think what makes that so special is that you don't know it's going to go to a Game 7, and that only happens every so many years. Sometimes there's a four-game sweep. Game 5, Game 6, that's how the series is over. A Game 7 moment just happens naturally. And that's where it began, is my tweet I sent out. Basically, that's what happens when you let sports just naturally progress. It's been my point all along. People come up with their complaints to me about a champion being decided two races, three races left in the season. We're all reminded of the famous example of Matt Kenseth back in 2003, right before the chase ever began. I know. I got it. To me, that is the equivalent of the four-game sweep. You have the system in place, the same system that NASCAR used to have. Start counting points in February, going all the way to November. Sure, it gave us Matt Kenseth. It gave us Dale Earnhardt, who won several of his championships with a few races to go, already clinched. This same system also gave us 1979, the slugfest between Richard Petty and Darryl Waltrip. This same system also gave us 1992. Who could forget the Hooters 500, a race to end all races, the climactic way the championship ended, Petty's last race, everything that happened in Atlanta, Georgia, Jeff Gordon's first race. Not nothing to do with the championship, but the way the title fight was decided was the same system that Matt Kenseth clinched so many races earlier. That was my analogy that I was trying to draw to this other guy on Twitter, was that the same system. Sometimes you have that four-game sweep in the World Series. Sometimes it goes seven games and extra innings like we just saw last week. But you need to let sports naturally play out. I am not convinced of this empty four-race, four-car tie down at Homestead. It's artificial. If we just made every World Series magically go to Game 7 and just reset it so they went to extra innings, you're losing so much of the authenticity of sports. And that's what I didn't like of it, is that sports just needs to naturally play out. You are going to get some barn burner championships in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. You're going to get some dull ones, too. That's how sports just happens, and I wish NASCAR would let their playoffs and their champion eliminate the playoffs, just let their championship happen how racing should let it happen. I also brought up the point where I still would like to watch the race for the race. I want to see who wins the race. And I don't care for the chase. And the TV coverage makes it difficult to get away from that chase, the way they present produce the race. It's brought up by some NASCAR radio commentators that, yeah, you still can watch the race for the race. You really cannot. It started back with ESPN. When they had their coverage, not early days up to 2000, but after the TV package for the first and second half of the year, and ESPN took 2007 through, 2013, 14, whatever that section was there, and ESPN presented their half of the television broadcast with the chase taking center stage and the race itself being the backdrop of their broadcast. So everything was chase, 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 chase in your face. NBC does that as well. When you tune in, the graphics, the description, everything is about the chase. What chase drivers are doing. When they talk about somebody, they talk about their points and where they are in the championship, and everything's featured on that. The race itself in the background. And that's how it's presented. I prefer it the other way around. I watch the race for the race. Give me the race as the forefront, your featured presentation of your broadcast, and put the championship in the background. It's, you know, who would have thought that we would long for the days of that silly graphic, points as they run, points as the race ended now. I'd gladly trade the chase for what we had back then, or for what we have now, rather. I'd rather have that, where at least you had the season-long championship. And then, you know, you could at least at the end of the race, after the checkered flag, you would have a graphic, top five, top ten, what have you, of the point standings, so you knew where they were at the end of the race. These guys all during pre-race now with NBC, NBC Sports Network, is their pre-race, the grid, all during the race, their presentation right to you is all the chase in their championship. So I find it a difficult time to even check out the races, and it's multiplied with the Xfinity and Truck Series as well. You could at least in years past be able to watch the Xfinity and Trucks and avoid the chase, but not anymore, as they have one as well. The caution clock is in the Trucks is an entirely different article altogether. I think I'll fan over that tonight. I would guess in a vein of that and connected what I'm doing, I did want to talk about a few articles that Paul Blofus wrote for SpeedwayReport.com this past week. He's a busy beaver on the keyboard, put up two for us, one dealing with racing patriotism and another dealing with the decline in attendance. Not just NASCAR, but across many forms of motorsports. And he offered some suggestions on how to fix it. Going back to the patriotism, it was inspired by Colin Kaepernick and his stance on the San Francisco 49ers with the national anthem, and how that reflects on motorsports and how respectful our sport is for everything that we complain about this sport, like I just did, about the chase, about the championship format. The very least we can do and be proud of is how still we treat our veterans, how we treat this country, our respect for the Patriots, for patriotism here in the United States. I wrote an article about this shortly ago. Paul followed it up with his own thoughts and a brand new on SpeedwayReport.com, as well as a second article about the decline in attendance, not just on the fendered cars, but on open-wheel cars as well. He's a big fan of Formula One and IndyCar. He goes to drag racing as well. So I'd recommend those two articles for you if you get a chance to head to SpeedwayReport.com. Look up Paul Blopas' work. And if I can hopscotch back to Fort Worth, Texas here for a little bit, something to look at for the race, which comes up in discussion every now and again, is how the race was rain delayed. They were able to start the race, and they got most of the race in. And there was debate as to how far we should go before we finally throw a checkered flag. Is there a go-home point? Is there a point of no return? We've always used halfway. Most racing series do. We went 293 laps of the scheduled 334. Some media heads brought up the fact that it was a chase race, so we need to finish it. And as I just described to you, the chase has very little interest to me. But for the sake of the sport, is it a big deal to try to complete those final 41 laps? I think in this point, for as much as I criticize NASCAR, I got to back them on what their decision was Sunday night. Originally, when that race was postponed and it stopped raining, it took even the Air Titans, those jet dryers, 3 to 4 hours to dry the Texas surface and get it ready for racing. Because of the surface, the asphalt, the weepers that they have at the track held a lot of moisture. You could blow off the track, get it nice and dry on the surface. The cracks would allow it to come out, which was moisture to come back out, seep back out, which really just threw the track crews for a loop. There's not a whole lot you can do about that, except, unfortunately, they're talking about repaving Texas Motor Speedway. A track like Texas, as well as Atlanta and several tracks, well, like that, you know what I'm getting at with Darlington, worn out pavement makes for the best racing. And as soon as you repave a track, you get that one groove speedway with all that grip. Everybody's down on the bottom, and it takes years and years for the pavement to deteriorate, and then you get a top-notch racing surface again. Texas itself is a good facility and a good surface, even though the race wasn't all that great, not a classic. Was not real bad either, but I think that low downforce aero package would do well there if they would use it in 2017. Yesterday reminded me, unfortunately, of the mid-2000s before the sixth-generation car. That aero push picked up by a lot of guys where a lot of car lengths were between the cars as they went around the track. Had a difficult time closing on one another. A worn-out track, worn-out pavement does that well. Racing gets good. You want to repave that track, I don't care what downforce package you put on those cars, race it, suck again. I'm hoping a way they can maybe fix the weepers and keep that old pavement. I certainly wanted to touch on the Kevin Harvick Austin Dillon crash from last night. I was looking at that as Austin Dillon skating up across Kevin Harvick's nose. Yeah, Dillon was complaining about Harvick pinching him down low. Well, yeah, dude, it's a race. It's supposed to keep you down there. But that does affect the handling of the car. And when Austin Dillon either pushed or got loose coming out of turn four, he skated up in front of Kevin Harvick. On the replay of Harvick's car, he did back off the throttle, but Dillon skated right across the nose of his. Harvick punted him in the rear end, and into the fence he went. You know, Kevin has not pulled any punches. He's made well aware of a lot of folks that he thinks, you know, the Dillon boys are silver spoon kids. Well, in the definitive sense, yeah, they are. They were born into the sport. Not like they worked 100 hours a week and brown bagged their lunch to save for tire money and pit passes to go to the racetrack on Saturday night. But I don't begrudge people like that. if you're blessed to be born into the sport, there's a lot of people that have been and have made the most of it. There's a lot of families in the sport. The Allisons, the Pettys, the Earnhardts have gone from generation to generation. And to, it's now 2016. They're blessed, and good for them. And I understand where Harvick's coming from, because he came up in a little different manner. But Dylan, you the car got away from you. You skated up in front of Kevin Harvick. In both sense, that was more or less a racing accident to me, even though the friction there, yeah, it's cool to see, but really uncalled for. It was, you know, Slugger Labby said on the phone or on the radio to Dylan, watch out for Phoenix, because Harvick's got to win and we don't. Can you say Joey Logano and Matt Kenseth? That may be coming this weekend in Phoenix. Before we sign off tonight, two important points we have to talk about. Tomorrow, if you have not already, please get out and vote. It is election day. Don't give up that right, and don't abuse it, and don't take it for granted. Get to the polls. Cast your vote. And this Friday of this week is also Veterans Day. Group of Americans that we're always pretty proud of and respect each and every week here on Speedway Report. And if you get a chance to see a veteran, always just thank a veteran for everything, for your freedoms, for everything that we have here in the United States. Everyone, keep up on the world of auto racing in between our broadcasts with SpeedwayReport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon of SpeedwayReport.com, click the TV button, and then you can rewatch tonight's show as well as past programs. We also have columns posted from Vicki Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Blofus, and myself. We talked about Paul having two columns about the NFL patriotism controversy and the pride we have in auto racing. He also has a second article about the crowd attendance declines in NASCAR and other forms of racing, and he has a few ideas on how to boost attendance again. So we've got auto racing, TV, radio, and written stories on SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work this evening. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow. It's Tuesday night at 7 Eastern Time with Racing Through History. And don't forget that Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in, both the Stock Car site and Drag Racer site. Good to be part of your Racers Reunion family. And if you tuned in late or would like to watch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of our Racers Reunion programs, we produce live content Monday and Tuesday on Racers Reunion. And just hit the Listen Now button as it's recycled there 24/7. Run it on a loop for the rest of the week. And you can also check that button on SpeedwayReport.com. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, especially with Veterans Day later this week, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless, and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman and Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS, I love saying that, are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. You can follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week and have results from NASCAR Sprint Cup in Phoenix, the Governor's Cup 200 at New Smyrna, Formula One in Brazil, the Hot Topics, and Coast, the NHRA champions. Tomorrow, get out and vote. Thank you all for joining us on Racers Reunion, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com TV.